Sue, I wanted to use what little time we have left to cover some of the areas that I feel are important that we didn't get to. Can you just kind of share again what are some of the concepts you want to make sure that we're solidifying for those that are interested or listening?
Yeah, I think one of the things that I want to make clear is that the type of therapy that I do, which I mentioned, is we call it affirmation therapy, doesn't really have a technique per se, because that's more of something that you do to someone. When someone has this issue of feeling unaffirmed, feeling unloved, feeling uncared for, and that affects them so profoundly, what they really need is someone who is willing to be present to them in a very profound way. And when we talk about affirming presence, we're really talking about a three-step process. We're talking about someone who is willing to be aware of, attentive to, and present to another person, to their unique goodness and worth. And that's separate from and prior to any good and worthwhile thing they could do. You know, so it's not about what you can get from them. And then secondly, as for instance, as I'm aware of this and I'm present to someone, as I get to know them over time, then I allow myself to be moved by their goodness or how they are or who they are, and I allow myself to feel attracted to or take delight in without doing anything to them, without trying to make them change or anything. I just let them be as my feelings grow for them.
Hmm.
And then the third part of that process, and I can decide not to do this also, is I allow how I feel for them to be seen in my face.
Ooh.
Now, the reason why that's important is that now my countenance reflects my internal feelings, and my feelings, it's a very important point, my feelings do not originate in me with my will. They originate in the goodness of the other person who is so attractive to me, who is so delightful and lovable to me, that I actually feel their lovableness. So now there is this communion of persons that we talk about in the theology of the body, right?
Wow. I'm thinking of my children right now, of how many times that I might have had disgust or anxiety or of just about life, open a letter and I'm thinking of something else, and then I look at them and say, what is it? You know, I don't think I'm thinking about doing what you're saying is so important.
Mm, yeah. And so that's affirming presence, and it is so profound, it is so simple, but it requires that the therapist, or like I was mentioning before, really, this really needs to be practiced everywhere.
Yeah.
Not just the therapist, but in my context, I need to be not distracted. I need to be not stressed. That means that if I come into that time with them stressed, I need to set that aside, and I can do that. I need to be there with them, see where they are, and let them be. And with the grace of God, what happens is that person actually can emotionally grow.
Wow.
Because they feel that they are really worthwhile. They actually don't just know it in their head. They actually, over time, begin to feel it. Now, there's a lot of things that may have to be worked out in addition to that and talked about so the person can actually trust that that's really true. But that's really the antidote to emotional deprivation.
Wow.
And so it has to do with another person.
And it's hard to do, though, because it takes an act of selflessness and a gift of self and inserting yourself. I'm thinking of myself as a mother to make sure I'm being very cognizant of my demeanor with my children or those around me so that I can be affirming and loving that way.
Right. And I know that when, you know, mothers are home with their kids, there's a lot going on. So it's not like you're going to be affirming emotionally affirming
right.
every time you interact with them. Sometimes you have to intellectually affirm them, which means you're giving them a direction, you're making them stop doing something, you're teaching them something. But when we're emotionally affirming, actually, I will say it is, you don't realize it until you actually are in it, you experience it, but it actually takes no energy to emotionally affirm someone that you actually have feelings for.
Wow. Yeah.
It takes no energy. You are more refreshed coming away from that than if you are trying to be present or trying to teach them something or trying to learn about them, because this isn't about energy. This is not about being effective with them. It's about being affect. I allow myself to be affected by other people. Now, this also relates to our culture, of course, because what's the most common thing you hear people say that all of us are guilty of is, well, how are you doing? I'm very busy. I'm so busy. But when you're busy, how much can you be present to another person? You can't.
Right.
You can be effective. You can do things. You can achieve things. And that's a good thing. But that is not the source of human happiness.
No. Union and communion is.
Right. It's not communion. It's communication. But it is not communion. It is not just being with someone and being united with someone in some way. It is actively doing something and inserting yourself and making things happen. And like I said, that's very important. But that needs to really flow out of affectivity. An affectivity is the capacity to be moved by the emotions of love, desire, and joy. And those emotions in particular are given to us by God so that we can actually experience the happiness for which we are created.
Oh, I've got two comments I wanted to make. One is, I was saying communion in the way that you described being in communion of persons when you delight in them for who they are. You reveal it in your countenance and they receive that and then are then moved interiorly because you've entered into a moment with one another. I guess I was thinking of that and how beautiful. The other comment I wanted to make, and I know that we don't have too much longer here, is you really have a great understanding and are helping us and pioneering, I think, the importance of understanding emotions. That's what I keep hearing, is you really are understanding the affective, emotional aspect of human beings.
Right. And that's one of the great gifts that St. Thomas Aquinas gave us in his anthropology, which in this sense means, what does it mean to be a human person?
Mm-hmm.
So it's what he says is that the emotions were given by God to support reason and the will in choosing what is good, which means that when our emotions are developed as we grow up, or maybe they're not developed until we're grown up, but when they're developed and we have a sense of ourselves and we can experience happiness and joy, well, then that happiness actually helps to drive us towards what is good. Now, we might have to cultivate our desire and our liking for good things. On some levels, that's easier than others, right? Like for the food that you like, you gravitate towards that. But you also want to help your children as they grow up, not just stay with baby food. You want to introduce new foods, and they start to say, well, I like this and I don't like that. But in essence, then we actually get to experience happiness in life, in this life.
Mm.
And I think a lot of Christians that I have worked with over the years have no conception that we're supposed to feel happy in this life. They think it's only in the next life. And that's not true. It doesn't mean that every moment we're going to be happy, but we need to be able to have that capacity to experience what is good on the natural level as well as on the supernatural level. And then as we grow spiritually, then our capacity to feel love for God and for higher truths also deepens. So our capacity for supernatural happiness also deepens.